Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. We're going to continue our series. We've been doing a series in the book of 1 Corinthians. The series is entitled Discipline for an Undisciplined Church. Discipline for an Undisciplined Church. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we begin reading with verse number 1, where the inspired writer says this: "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal? And walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." This morning I'd like to entitle our message, "It's Time to Grow Up." It's time to grow up. When you walk into a nursery, what do you expect to find? Babies, right? Bottles and pacifiers and diapers. When you walk into an elementary classroom, what do you expect to find? Children, young people who have matured some and are no longer nursing or wearing diapers. What about a middle school? Or what about a high school? You know, there'd be something wrong if you walked into a classroom on the collegiate level and there were people sitting there sucking their thumbs, wearing onesies, and acting like babies. In our text today, Paul sharply rebukes the church. I wanted to stop right there and say that's what a lot of our college campuses look like and act like, a bunch of babies, but let me move on. In our text today, Paul sharply rebukes the church in Corinth for the fact that they had not grown into mature Christians, but were in fact still acting like babies. Now, it's normal for a newborn to drink milk and behave like an infant. But there's something wrong with grown folk who still need to nurse and act like babies. The Holy Spirit will speak to the church at Corinth and us by extension and speaks to us that if we're still on the bottle, folks, it's time to grow up. May God use this message to challenge each of us. I mean, each of us. It doesn't matter how long you've been sitting in this church pew. May God use this message to challenge each of us to grow up in the areas where we have still not matured. I want you to notice with me, first of all, Paul's parental approach in verse number 1, and he says to them, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, what Paul is making reference to here is the first time he came to Corinth, when he came a few years earlier, and he began to preach the gospel there, and God saved some of them. They became newborn Christians, right? They were infants in the Lord, newborn babies. He is not, his first verse and second verse, this is not a charge against them. Paul is not scolding them for being infants. Babies are babies. That's what you expect. You expect a baby to act like a baby. And the Apostle Paul simply says, "When I came to Corinth and I preached the gospel, you became new Christians, newborn Christians." And you need to stop and think about this. this was the first time, as far as we know, this was the first time that the gospel had been brought to that city of Corinth. You understand, when Paul showed up in town and began to preach Jesus and Him crucified, he wasn't preaching to people that had been sitting in church all their lives. He wasn't talking to people that had been going to Sunday school since they were just a little child. He wasn't preaching to people that had been to VBS every summer. These were people who didn't know anything about the Bible. Obviously, there were still some Jews there, and they had some knowledge of Old Testament writing, but for the best part, these people knew nothing about God. Essentially, they could say, all I know was, I was a lost sinner, now I'm a saved sinner. Like that man that Jesus healed, I was blind, but now I can see. That's about all that they knew. So Paul is not chastising them for this. He's not scolding them. They were newborn babes in Christ, and being newborn babes, they desired milk. You take a newborn baby, and they yearn for milk. They desire, and that's natural. Same thing for a newborn Christian. They should desire to feed from the milk of the Word of God. That's what he says to them in verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? Because you weren't able to bear it. And that only makes sense. You don't put a hamburger steak down in front of a newborn baby. Why? They can't eat it. They can't handle it. But they do want milk. They naturally desire milk. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. I fed you with milk because that's what you needed. That's what you desired, as all newborn babies should desire. I came to you. I couldn't give you the strong things. Remember, Paul was only in Corinth 18 months. He only stayed there a year and a half. And the bulk of his ministry in Corinth was preaching the gospel. Remember, he really didn't even get involved in baptizing people. You remember that? That wasn't why he was in Corinth. I really think his goal was to preach Christ as much and as often as he could, and he would entrust the elders of the church in Corinth. He would establish the elders there, and he would entrust them with teaching the church. This was what it was. Paul is just simply saying that when I came, I preached, you were saved, I fed you with milk, because that's all you could handle. And the Corinthians who heard this letter or were reading this letter from Paul, they would say, that's right, that's what he did. He came to us, he preached Jesus to us, he fed us the milk of the Word. I love it. Now, I'm just imagining, this is my sanctified imagination, some of them saying, I love to hear Paul preach that gospel. You know, some of them members at Corinth, I love to hear him preach the gospel. Sure, there are a lot of things, and we'll get into that, a lot of biblical truths that need to be built upon. But I imagine them church members at Corinth saying, I just love to hear Paul preach Jesus. I love to hear this. And they were newborn babes, and that was the milk of the Word, and that's what he fed them. That was his parental role over them, his parental concern over them. But the close of verse number 2, that's where Paul drops the hammer. That's where he starts getting all in their business, if you will. Verse 1, he says, I could not speak to you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, because you were just babes in Christ. That's fine. I fed you with milk. That's fine. I couldn't give you meat because you couldn't bear it. That's fine. But the close of verse number 2, but here's the problem. Neither yet now are ye able. There's the problem. See, the problem wasn't when he was in Corinth originally that they were babies. The problem was now it's been 3, 4, 5 years, and guess what? They're still babies. There's the problem. This is the problem addressed. They were acting like babies, bickering over silly stuff, immature and juvenile. That's how they were acting. Paul was saying, when you were first saved, you wanted milk, I gave you milk, that's natural. But now you've been saved a few years, you ought to be off the bottle. You ought to be on something a little more solid. But you're not. It's time to grow up. This is what he's speaking to them. Children will argue and bicker over some of the most silly things. But that's not how mature Christians behave. This is what Paul is building towards. I have said this before, and I'll just say it again. My kids say every time I use them as an illustration, I have to give them $5. I don't know if I give them $5 yet, but here it comes. many years ago, we were traveling somewhere, and they were sitting in the back seat bickering. They're sisters, they're siblings. Believe it or not, those two little angels will bicker every so often. I can tell you where they got it from, but I'm not going to do that. But one of the kids was mad and said, "Mama, make her stop." And Pat says, "What is she doing?" And she said, "She's looking out my window." Well, that's a horrible thing to do now, isn't it? I might give you $5 for that one right there. All right? But that's what you expect children to do, that, right? Children are going to act like children. They're going to bicker like children. But the Apostle Paul says, guess what? You folks at Corinth, it's time to stop acting like children. It's time to stop bickering over trivial and inconsequential matters. Stop looking at each other and arguing over things that mean nothing in the long run. Stop acting like babies. And Paul, I'm telling you, he doesn't pull any punches, nor does he make any apologies for this. He is saying to them, and he gets all up in their business by saying to them, it was one thing to be on the milk when you're a baby, but now you've been saved a few years, you ought to be off the milk now. You ought to be feeding on some meat by now. In fact, this is addressed in another place. I'll ask you to turn with me and look at it. Look at the book of Hebrews in chapter number 5. This same thing is addressed in this very, very similar language. I want you to look at it with me. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 11. God's Word says, "Of whom we have many things to say." And we don't have time to get into all of this, but Paul is writing to these scattered Hebrews, and he's talking about Jesus. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say." There are a lot of things you need to hear, and they're hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Look at verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles or teachings of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age." And that doesn't mean in years, it means in maturity. That's a completely different thing. "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here's another example of Paul writing to some people and saying, if it's Paul who writes Hebrews, that's another debate altogether. Whoever the Hebrew writer is writing them and saying to them, it's time for you to be on the meat, but guess what? You're not on the meat either. You're still on the milk. You ought to be teaching people, but instead of teaching people, you need to sit down and be taught a few things. And so this is not an uncommon thing, and it's not natural. Now think about this. From the natural side, it's not normal for a child to be 4, 5, 6 years old and still sucking their thumb or nursing or walking around in diapers. That's not normal. And Paul is saying to this church in Corinth, you've been saved long enough. You ought to be off the bottle. You ought to be on the meat. But instead, rather than you teaching people, you need to sit down and let me teach you a few things. You have not matured in the Lord. You are acting, he says in verse number 3, you are yet carnal. That just means fleshly or worldly. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We are in the flesh, but that doesn't mean we have to live fleshly. We are in the world, but that doesn't mean we have to live worldly. We can't help the fact that we live in a fallen world, but we can help how we live in a fallen world. And Paul is saying to them, you're acting like a bunch of babies. And one of the clearest evidences that they were acting like a bunch of babies as he addresses this problem with them is, if you'll notice in verse number 3, you're yet carnal, you're fleshly, you're worldly, and here's why. Here's the evidence. Because among you there is envy and strife and divisions. Because of this, he says, are you not carnal and walk as men? Really what Paul is saying, he's saying to them, I know you're acting like babies because you're bickering and quarreling and fighting. Truth about it is, you're not acting like Christians at all. You're acting like lost people. That's what he says at the close of verse number 3. Are you not carnal and walk as men, as lost men? You're not behaving the way a mature Christian or even a young. You're acting like a lost world around you. There is envy or jealousy. Now get this, that church at Corinth, of all the issues that existed within that church, what was the first thing that Paul addressed? What was the first thing the Holy Spirit had him address? The division that existed within that church. The factions and the different sects and the people that had been split up and divided and arguing over these things. It had its fingers in so many different aspects of the problems of the church in Corinth. So he addresses them and saying, one of the greatest evidences that you are immature is how you're acting. Now you can claim to be a mature Christian all you want to, but it's not the words that manifest your maturity. It is how you act. It is what you do that manifests whether or not you are a mature Christian or not. He says there's envy there. There's strife. There is division. You show me a church full of envy, strife, and division, and I'll show you a church full of a bunch of immature Christians who are at least at that moment acting like a bunch of babies. You know, babies are selfish. Isn't that true? Now, I know you're not supposed to talk ugly about babies because they're, you know, cute and fuzzy and warm and all that, but babies are selfish. And we all are by nature, but they want to be fed when they want to be fed. They want to be healed when they want to be healed. When they want to get down out of your arms, they want what they want when they want it. They're selfish. They have a limited diet, a limited understanding. And Paul says, that's how you people in Corinth are acting. You're acting selfish. You've got a limited diet of the milk, and you have a limited understanding of the truth of the Word of God. You need to grow up. And one of the greatest evidences is their childish behavior of fighting over things that just don't matter. They are quarreling, they're wrangling over, and if I can say it this way, they're arguing and quarreling and wrangling over who's the better speaker, who's the better preacher. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. All of these things. They were not dealing with true spiritual, but what mattered, they were arguing over trivial things. Not things of consequence, but things of inconsequence. They were arguing over who among them, listen to this, they were arguing over who among them was the more spiritual because of who they aligned themselves behind. I've been in churches long enough to see that play right out. All this is the more spiritual crowd because they follow this charismatic guy. I've seen that in churches, and it is, you know what it is? It's juvenile. It is infantile. It is babyish. Paul is saying, the evidence of your immaturity is your behavior. And this reaches all the way back. You remember to chapter 1 where he addresses with him the division, the quarreling, and the fighting that exists with him. Paul's criticism against the Corinthians was not that they used to be babes in Christ. His criticism with them is that they're still babes in Christ. That's what he's fussing to them about. And you hear me, as we try to take his lesson to them and apply it to us, listen to me, child of God, you can memorize the books of the Bible. You can know all 5 points of grace. You can be able to beat everybody at Bible drill. But that doesn't mean you're a mature Christian. His indictment is, hey, you all are still acting like babes. So I want to ask you this. Are we grown up? Or do we have some growing up to do? I told the men at the 10 o'clock hour, this is going to be one of those sermons that's going to get in everybody's business. Ask yourself this question. Am I a source of strife and disunity within the church? Then it's time to grow up. Am I the cause of discord or division within the church? If so, then it's time to grow up. Am I jealous? How about this? Am I jealous when someone else receives praise instead of me? Then it's time to grow up. That's what was going on in Corinth. And don't sit here today and say, well, that ain't got nothing to do with us. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You shouldn't behave the same way you behaved before you were saved. We shouldn't act or conduct ourselves like the society around us. Again, if I may, These people in Corinth were so impressed with the skilled orators of their day, so impressed with the silver-tongued rhetoricians that made their way from Athens down into Corinth. The lost people, they were so impressed with that, but Paul was saying, stop thinking like the world. Stop acting like the world. Stop behaving like the world and grow up in Christ. This is a good lesson for us. If your life, either inside the church doors or outside the church doors, is characterized by envy, strife, or division, it's time to grow up. There are some people who think it is a mark of maturity to always be disagreeable and to cause strife. But what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says it's time to grow up. There are some people, I don't understand. I guess they really think that God's going to give them extra points when they get to heaven for being so hard to get along with here on earth. If you are a source of division or strife or conflict, are you not carnal? Isn't that what Paul says? Aren't you walking as mere men? You're not conducting yourself like a mature Christian. You're acting like a baby. And it's time to grow up. Would you agree with me that there's nothing worse than being around a grown person who acts like a child? I mean, that's one of the worst case scenarios you can be around, being around a grown person. I mean, you hear some folk whine and cry. You feel like going and getting them fast fire in a bottle. Grown folk I'm talking about. And Paul says it's one thing for you to act like a bunch of babies when you actually were babies. But now you ought to be off the milk and on the meat, and you ought to be acting like a mature Christian. But you're not. And I'm calling you out for it because it's causing problems within the church. You're hindering the furtherance of the gospel and of the kingdom of God. Grow up. There's some people who want to just be disagreeable, cause strife. Paul says to them, it's time to grow up. Now, you can pretend that you're contending for the faith. If you want to be divisive and cause trouble, you can convince yourself you're some kind of super saint who has more spiritual wisdom than everybody else. And that's why you think you've got to be contrary or divisive, but the text just says that's a mark of immaturity. You all are sitting here saying, is he preaching to me? I'm preaching to everybody. Everybody. I get so frustrated. And I'm thankful we have a lot of unity here. And I beg God to keep unity within this church body. But I've been around churches where the church members just act like a bunch of babies. Argue over stuff that don't matter. Does it matter a whole lot what color the walls are? I mean, stuff that don't matter. But if you've been around churches long, you know good and doggone well. Some of the biggest problems that exist within churches, not over doctrinal debates, it's not over things of theological significance, it's over stuff that doesn't matter over. Doesn't matter at all. This text tells us that when there is strife and discord and jealousy and disunity and bitterness, somebody needs to grow up. Paul's not saying they're not saved. He's just saying you're not acting like you're saved. So then he will compel them to alter their perspective. Thirdly, in verses 5 through 7, he says to them, in verse 4, that's why one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. When they're arguing over that, Paul says, that's just carnal. I'm of Paul. It goes all the way back to chapter number 1. But in verse 5 through 7, we have a perspective altered. In verse 5, Paul asks rhetorical questions here. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who are they? They're just ministers by whom you believe as the Lord gave to every man. Paul is just simply downplaying his role. He says, who am I? Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Look what he says in verse 7. Neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, and you can put anything, but God that giveth the increase. You want to know how you can be super popular? Go around a bunch of preachers and say, you're nothing, and you're nothing, and you're nothing, and you're nothing. But that's what Paul thinks of himself. Paul just as simply said, now we'll get into this later in the book of Corinthians. Paul is not dismissing apostolic authority. He's not saying don't show respect to the office of an elder or a pastor. Paul's not saying any of those things. He's just saying in the whole scheme of things, I'm insignificant. Jesus is everything. That's what he is really saying there. I'm unremarkable, but Jesus is remarkable. Respect, revere Him, not us. You see, those in the gospel ministry are to be respected and they are to be honored, but there also needs to be a clear understanding of the faults and failures and the frailty of every preacher and every pastor. There is no such thing as a perfect preacher, perfect pastor. There is no such thing. And there's no such thing as a perfect church member either. By extension, what Paul is saying is, whether it is the one that is in the pulpit or the one that's in the pew, it's all about God anyway. It's not about us. If you go out and you sow a little seed and somebody else comes by and waters it, and God blesses and saves that soul, who are we? Just seed sowers and water boys. That's all we are. It's God that gives the increase. Paul is not saying, because he's going to deal with this later, he's not saying be disrespectful to those that are in a role of leadership. He's just saying show the right level of respect, which is not what they were doing. They kept putting men on pedestals, preachers on pedestals. And I told you this, you put a preacher on a pedestal, God will kick that pedestal out from under him to keep him humble. Mm-hmm. The church at Corinth was still acting like the lost world around them by aligning themselves behind their favorite personality. And Paul says, you all have got the wrong perspective. You need to adopt a new one. We are just workers in God's vineyard, and we should not be admired beyond measure. Worship should be reserved for God alone. You see, it doesn't matter who the human messenger is. It only matters what the message is. And Paul is saying, I'm nothing, Apollos is nothing. He could go right on down the list. All of us, we're nothing. It is God that should have the preeminence and the glory. Perhaps you've heard the story about the soldier who fell head over heels, madly in love with this girl right before he went off to war. And he promised he would write her 3 letters a week for the whole time that he was away. And sure enough, he kept his word, wrote her hundreds of letters. She ended up falling in love with the mailman who brought all the letters. Folks, people shouldn't fall in love with the preachers. They ought to fall in love with the message that the preacher is bringing. We're just the mailmen. We're just trying to deliver the mail. Do you get it? Don't lift high men. Lift high the bloodstained banner of Jesus. Exalt Him. This is God's love letter to His children. And people are not supposed to fall in love with us. They're supposed to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I feel like a complete failure if I preach my guts out for years and years. And I know, Brother Gordon, you feel this way.
Amen.
Man, if I fall out and the church fell out with it, I'd feel like a complete failure. Confidence shouldn't be in men, or confidence should be in God.
Amen.
Here's what Paul says, I'm nothing, Apollos is nothing. It is God that gives him. All I can do, friends, is sow the seed.
Amen.
All I can do is come back and water it with some tears, and that's all you can do. And you can be that one that sows, because God ordains means. You can be the one that sows the seed, you can be the one that waters. You can do that, but God has to give the increase.
Amen.
For those of you that still garden, you know this, right? You go out and you put seed in the ground, and you come back and you can water it, but can you make it grow? Can you? I mean, can you sit there and will it to grow? All you can do is sow the seed and water, and then do what? Pray that God gives the increase.
Amen.
Because God has to birth life into that seed. It actually has to die in the ground in order for it to give birth to new life. And so it is in the spiritual realm. All we can do is sow the seed, water the seed, but we got to pray that God gives the increase.
Amen.
And if God gives the increase, we are to give God the glory and not man.
Amen.
It is not in the messenger. The power lies in the message. And this is what Paul is. I really think, if you get down to this, the more I read this, I really think Paul is mad that there is a group of people down there in Corinth that have aligned themselves behind his name. He didn't want anybody following up behind him. He didn't want his own fan club, group of people following him. I think he's not only empowered by the Holy Spirit to write these words, I think he's mad. I think his flesh is angry that he went and preached Jesus and Jesus and Jesus, and all of a sudden they want to talk about Paul and Apollos and Peter. If you could imagine yourself at a great concert, And you've listened to some beautiful music flowing from this gifted violinist. And as the violinist reaches the end of his performance, the audience stands and cheers. Who takes the bow? The violin or the violinist? It is obviously the one playing the violin that takes the bow. And what Paul is saying, listen, we're just instruments in God's hand. Don't applaud us. We're just the instrument. Applaud God. He's the one that makes the beautiful music that gives new life to the gospel. That's what God does, and only God can do.
Amen.
So don't honor men above measure. I said it like this in my notes. Tom planted, Gordon planted, Randy planted, and I've watered, but God has to give the increase.
Amen.
Worship Him. When God gives new life and you become a Christian, you must not remain a newborn babe. It's time to grow up.
Amen.
You've got to grow up. Can I say it like this, not make anybody mad? At some point, you need to put on your big boy pants and grow up.
Amen.
Don't get the idea that just because you've been saved for many years, that's proof of maturity. It's not. I've known some people that I believe have been saved for a long time, but they are way more immature than some people have been saved for a short period of time.
Amen.
Having been saved for 30 years or sitting on a pew for 30 years, that don't make you a mature Christian. What you do evidences whether or not you are a mature Christian.
Amen.
I say this with some love and some holy boldness. It's time for some of us to grow up. It's time for some of us to grow up. You acting like you're 15 years old and you're 45, it's time to grow up. You 35 years old, still living in your mama's basement, mooching off her and expecting on her to wait on you hand and foot. It's time to grow up.
Amen.
But sadly, there's some Christians out there who have been saved for decades that are still just like that, immature Christians, babies. It's not natural for a baby not to grow up. Something's wrong with a child that doesn't grow. Something's wrong with a Christian that doesn't mature. Paul says it's time for you all to grow up. Folks, and I say this from the practical side, I want all of us, I want us to grow up and be mature. And you're never going to grow up and become a mature Christian by only feeding on what I give you. It's not enough. If all the spiritual meat you get is what you get when you come to church, it's not enough. You will be, your spiritual growth will be stunted. You will never grow into spiritual maturity. Now, I try. God knows I try. I'm not saying I do everything I could. But I try, when you show up, to have you a well-balanced spiritual meal. I try to teach you the Word of God. I try to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. If all you get is 1 or 2 hours of my preaching a week, that's not enough. You will not mature in Christ on just that.
Amen.
How healthy would you be if you only ate once a week? I say I'd be a lot thinner if I only ate once a week. I don't even want to only eat once a day, let alone once a week. You with me? How healthy would you be if you only ate 1 or 2 meals a week? How healthy do you think you are spiritually if all you get is 1 or 2 services, 3 services here a week? That's not enough. You need to eat every day.
Amen.
You need a healthy, balanced meal of the Word of God every day.
Amen.
You need to get along with God every day. You need to read good Christian material. You need to spend time investing in others and witnessing. You cannot become the mature Christian that you need to become if all you get is what you get from right here on Sunday.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Do you care about bringing God glory with your life? Do you care about leading others to Christ? Do you want to see God's blessings on this church? Then it's time to grow up.
Amen.
Because only mature sheep can reproduce. You chew on that one a little while. You know how hard I worked on that one little sentence? Only mature sheep can reproduce.
Amen.
Jesus did not leave the glories of heaven, come to this earth, and live among the silt and sin of fallen men, take our place at Calvary, suffer the fury of the wrath of God. He didn't die and rise again just so you could crawl into heaven on your knees with a pacifier in your mouth, never having grown up.
Amen.
It's time to grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, I behaved like a child. But what? When I became a man, I put away childish things. And I just say to you, brothers and sisters, we all need to be challenged to grow up. Perhaps we need to get our priorities aligned. And that's really what I'm going to close with out of verse number 8. Our priorities need to be aligned. Verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And do you see what Paul is saying? Paul is saying ultimately that it's all God. It's all Him. It's all me and here. You're only going to get one sermon today, so just hold on. To some degree, Paul is saying, I'm the one that came here and preached to you, so I sowed the seed. After I left, Apollos came and he preached to you, so he watered. So you see that? That's what he's saying. But what Paul is saying essentially is we're both just doing the same thing God has called us to do. We're just one in Christ. If you read the close of this third chapter, it's just going to say that same thing again. We're just doing what God called us to do. We're just one in Him. It's not us, it's Him. And so he says to them, and I'll say to some of us, we need to get our priorities aligned out of verse number 8. He that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, this leads, and I don't have time to get into it today because it's about time to quit, but this leads right into a big section on the fact that one of these days, we're all going to stand before Jesus to be judged. And with that solemn reality before our minds, maybe we need to get our priorities realigned.
Amen.
You're going to stand before Jesus one day. Can I ask, is it going to matter in 100 years who won the football game yesterday? Or the baseball game? Or the race? Or is it going to matter in 100 years? Is anybody going to care? But what you've done for Jesus is going to matter.
Amen.
What you've done in service to Him will matter. And in fact, that's the only thing that's going to matter. Jesus didn't suffer all He did just so we could stay babies all of our life. He expects us to grow up and mature.
Amen.
And become fruit-bearing Christian. This section, as we're going to get into it as we press forward in this third chapter of Corinthians, is just a strong reminder that you Corinthians need to grow up, because one of these days you're going to give an account for how you conducted yourself here on
Amen.
Earth. We sang this song, sang these lyrics, I ask, are you pressing on the upward way? Are you gaining new heights every day? Are you living on higher ground? If not, it's time to grow up.